Today's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Every seventh year, you must cancel all debts. This is how the cancellation is to be handled. Creditors will forgive the loans of their fellow Israelites. They won't demand repayment from their neighbors or their relatives because the Lord's year of debt cancellation has been announced. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us
as we forgive.
Well, today we are continuing in our series, Together We Pray, where we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. We're kind of going through it line by line. And today we're spending some time with this line, like Pastor Rob said before he prayed. We're spending time with this line, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you know, this is the line of the prayer where I think I hear people say the most often, oh, I grew up with, if you grew up with the Lord's Prayer, I grew up with a different version of the Lord's Prayer than maybe you did. It's when we get to this part of the prayer that I hear people say, well, it can sound a little like, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, or like we say here at St. Luke's, forgive us our trespasses. But I think no matter what version of this prayer you grew up with, there is something about this line that stirs up some feelings in some of us. So I was having coffee with a friend this week who grew up Catholic, and I told her what I was going to preach about on Sunday, and she kind of like, and she said, Mindy, when you tell me that, when you say that line, it's like I am right back in Catholic school going through confession. I see some of you nodding, so you resonate with that. But I'm curious for you today, no matter if you grew up Catholic or you didn't grow up in church at all, what kind of things come to the surface when you hear this line about forgiving and being forgiven? Do you feel some shame and guilt? Do you feel a little uneasy? Do you feel confused because, like Rob said, this sounds a little conditional and I don't know what to do about that? Like, does God only forgive us if we forgive someone else? Is that what this piece of the prayer is saying? Or maybe do you feel comfort because you're like, yes, I need God's forgiveness and I need to be able to forgive other people. You know, I think if we're honest, it can be a little uncomfortable to talk about needing to be forgiven or to talk about what it looks like to forgive someone else. And I just want to let you know, a few months ago, we actually did a whole series on forgiveness. So if you're like, I would like Pastor Mindy to give me 5 easy tips for how to forgive someone. First of all, you all know I do not give 5 easy tips ever. So you're not going to find that. But you can find some really good stuff if you go back and find that series on forgiveness. So if you want like the really practical stuff, go back to our website, find that. But today, here's what I want to look at with you. I kind of want to look at the why. I want to look at why Jesus talks about forgiveness in this prayer. Why is it important for us? And why does it show up in the part of the prayer where we find it? So last week, we talked about the line of the prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread. If you were here, you know that we talked about the fact that that just really means we're saying, God, give us what you know we need. God, we know that you're aware of what we need. We know you're paying attention. We know, God, that you're going to show up and tend to us. So when we move to this idea of forgiving and being forgiven, it not only follows that line of the prayer where we say God does the things that we need God to do, but it's connected by this very short but important word, and. And. Now, where are my 90s kids at in the room? Be proud. My elder millennials, if you will. This may not actually mean to be age-bound. Who grew up watching Schoolhouse Rock? Okay. We're very excited about this. So Schoolhouse Rock taught us a lot of things as we were growing up on Saturday morning. And one of the things Schoolhouse Rock taught us was conjunction junction. Yes, my friends, conjunction junction, what's your function? That's beautiful. Beck, that was not my audition for the worship team. I just want you to know. We'll do that later. It's fine. But the whole song is about these small but mighty words. It looks at but, or, and. And when it comes to and, according to conjunction junction, and is what's known as an additive. It brings two things together. It links things. It connects things. I want you to pay attention to that. And connects two ideas. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we have this connection. We have this idea that God gives us what we need, and God forgives us, and we can forgive others. Those two things are linked. And for me, this connection feels really important. Because what this makes me wonder about is that maybe, as hard as it can be sometimes to forgive people or accept forgiveness, maybe Jesus looks at forgiveness and says, this thing, this is essential. It's essential to who you are. It's essential to your faith. Maybe when we're talking about our spiritual lives, forgiveness is just as important as any physical resource that we can consume. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this law that talks about radical forgiveness. It's called Jubilee. The scripture Jenny read today hints at it a little bit. It talks about this rhythm that God wanted the people to have of Sabbath, of releasing things, of letting things go. And it's kind of an interesting law because, frankly, when we read through the Bible and when scholars have done a lot of homework on this, they're like, we don't know if anyone actually followed this law. We don't know if anyone did the thing that God wanted them to do. But the point is, this law tells us something really important about God's heart. This tells us what God wants for us as we relate to each other and as we relate to God. So to just kind of break it down for you, because you may be an expert on Old Testament law. I don't know. I'm not, but we're learning together. It's great. So basically what Jubilee would say is that, you know, every seventh year was supposed to be the Sabbath year, but every seventh year was the year of Jubilee. And so that was a big deal. Like, that was a day that this trumpet would sound, there would be this big announcement, and the announcement was saying, hey, people, stop everything. Like, record scratch, start over, something big is happening. This is the moment where you get to reset, where you get to let some things go. So if you were someone in that time that you were living far from your home, it was time to go back. If you were someone who was working really hard at a tireless job, guess what? You get a break. If you were someone who was living in slavery, you got to be free. And if you were someone who owed a debt, that debt would be forgiven. It was like this ultimate practice of forgiveness and renewal that would turn everything on its head if just for a season. Now, you might be thinking as you hear this described, well, this sounds very idealistic. Yes, that's my favorite. You too? Great. Great. So it sounds very idealistic, but also it kind of sounds chaotic. I mean, the whole thing would have been turned upside down. Why would God want people to do this? Why would God disrupt the order of how things were supposed to be? I think there's some practical and spiritual implications here, because practically, this helped keep justice flowing. Like, this stopped the rich from getting richer and the poor from getting poorer. This interrupted generational poverty. This just made sense that people would have the basic things they needed. But like we talked about last week, it wasn't just these practical needs that God cared about. Because God cares about the spiritual and the practical. And so spiritually, engaging in this kind of cycle of release and reset that Jubilee brought us, It reminds us that God forgives each and every one of us again and again. It was like this tangible, in-your-face example of God's mercy and grace. It was like saying, hey, friends, you've had a lot of this. Now it's time to share. Now it's time to give this mercy and grace and forgiveness to someone else. And I got to tell you, as I look at this, I can see the risk of this kind of forgiveness. Because I think if I was someone who was really powerful or rich, what benefit does it have me to forgive these debts? What benefit does it give me to let people go home and stop working? I mean, on the surface, forgiving those things doesn't seem like it's going to do a lot for me. But I think what we keep being reminded of as we study the Lord's Prayer is that God often gives us the things that we need, but what's hard here is they don't always look like the things that we want. I think this is really true about forgiveness. Because we may not want to practice forgiveness. We may not want to receive forgiveness from God, but I think if we can be vulnerable and honest about who we are and the things we've experienced, we need this. We need to give it. We need to receive it. We can't really survive without it. I think I feel like it's complicated, and I'm just speaking from my own experience, okay? Your experience might be different. But for me, it's complicated when I have to forgive because it almost always feels like I'm going to lose something. I mean, maybe it's I lose my power that comes from holding on to something. I lose my energy from having a lot of rage. Or maybe I just lose the ability to read that story where I'm always right and the you that wronged me is always wrong. Right? I love that story. I could read that one again and again and again and never get tired of it. But forgiveness says, hey, wait, you might have to look at this differently. And sometimes when I think about forgiveness like that, I think it just feels like if I forgive you, then you win and I lose. And that makes me kind of uncomfortable. I think maybe one of the things that bugs me so much about forgiveness and the way that God gives grace is that it just doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel fair at all. I heard that in the song, too, that we just sang. It doesn't feel fair. And you are looking at an Enneagram 2 with a very loud one wing. And so if you know anything about the Enneagram, you know that means I like things to be right. I like them to be just. I like them to be fair. And I think the work that God has done is doing on me is to say, hey, you can let that go a little bit. You can live in a spiritual economy that isn't this for that. You can live in a way where you let my grace make things not feel so fair. I just came across this quote from Bono, of all people. We've now quoted, I just want to point this out, we've quoted Conjunction Junction and Bono in this sermon, so the height of spirituality right here. But I came across this quote from Bono that just summed it up so perfectly. I want to share it with you. He said, at the center of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put out comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or in physics, in physical laws, every action is met by an equal or opposite one. It's clear to me that karma is at the heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace. To upend all that as you reap, so you will sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts, if you like, the consequences of your actions. One of our St. Luke's members, Leanne Jackson, has lived into the essence of that quote in a really interesting way. So Leanne writes for Guideposts Magazine, and she shared an article with Pastor Rob knowing that this line of the prayer was coming up, and Pastor Rob shared it with me. And in this article, Leanne writes about her relationship with her mother-in-law, Lily. Now, this is not a quote from the article, but it was my feeling as I read it. Lily brought the drama. Okay, she brought the drama to every circumstance. Like, she created division between her family members. She created conflict. She would lie. She would break promises. She yelled at her grandkids. Like, it was a really hard situation. And so those behaviors create a lot of anger and resentment in Leanne's family. You can imagine, you may have been through a similar situation. And by the time Lily died, Leanne was trying to piece together, like, what does forgiveness even look like for me and her? So she said she got curious, and she wanted to learn more about Lily's life. And as she dug into Lily's past, she found out that Lily was the 9th of 10 children, all girls before her. The family desperately wanted a son, and guess what number 10 was? So Lily, as the 9th of 10 girls before this hoped for and waited for a son, just became totally neglected by her family. They didn't care. They didn't give her attention. They didn't really want her around. And so when she moved on, when she got married, her husband's family kind of perpetuated this cycle. Lily was from a Syrian immigrant family, and her husband's family was like, well, you don't belong. Like, we don't want you. And so they held her at arm's length and never really let her be part of the family. And so as Leanne is discovering this, she's like, wow, there are so many wounds here. Now, those wounds didn't make Lily's behavior okay. Those wounds didn't negate the boundaries that they set to have healthy relationship with Lily while she was alive. But what those wounds did is they showed Leanne and her family there was more to the story. They started to open the door to the possibility of forgiveness. And actually, at Lily's funeral, this is what they shared during the eulogy. Lily's son, Dave, wrote this, and Leanne shared it. They said, some aspects of Lillian's life were very difficult, but we strongly believe that in the end, God wins. He puts everything right. I love that language, that God puts everything right, because I think that's good news for us, and it's true about our God. What that means is that we can forgive, but also that we're the ones that need forgiven, and God gives that to us. You know, we talk about, is this a conditional part of this prayer that we forgive and God will only forgive us if we forgive? I don't think so. I think it's just an invitation to be the way that God is with us. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. When I look at God and I look at us, I think, God, you don't actually have to forgive anything that we do. You don't. But God kind of reminds me of, like, if you go to one of those 4th of July parades or something and they hand out candy and they're just, like, throwing it everywhere. I mean, that's how God is with forgiveness. So extravagant, so undeserved. And yet God shows up again and again and says, this is for you. And we've been seeing that since the story was being told. I mean, I think all the way back to the garden. I think all the way back to that story of Adam and Eve, the first story that people wanted to know about this God. You've got Adam and Eve in the garden, and they've got it good, okay? Like, they're living in perfect paradise. Everything is awesome. And then they kind of mess it up. And I look at that story, and I think, God, you know, you were so close to the beginning. You could have just, like, crumpled that one up and said, let's start over. We don't need to talk about that. I mean, that's what God could have done. But when faced with this huge transgression, this massive failure, what does God do? God puts clothes on them. God takes them out of the garden. It's for their own good. But God never leaves them alone. And here's the thing. God doesn't keep score of the debt that could have just been created. God decides to forgive and keep going. And I hope what we know is that that was not a one-time event, because every single day God shows up for us and gives us that forgiveness. It's like God is on this constant jubilee with you and me. And I think when we put it that way, when we think about it like that, again, it's not that we owe anything or we're obligated, but I just feel motivated. I think if God can forgive us the way God does, then can't I offer just a fraction of that forgiveness to someone else? You know, there might be some of you here today that you're feeling a little weird about this part of the sermon, because we're talking about the fact that we need forgiveness. And some of us have been steeped in a little more shame with that than I would love for us. And so I guess I just want to say, if you are someone that you're like, I don't even know how to articulate that idea that I need God's grace, that I need God's forgiveness without going on this like giant shame slide down, 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 I just want to invite you to let that go. I want to invite you to let go the amount of effort that sometimes we put into like glossing over our flaws or trying to tell a story about ourselves where we're always the hero. Like when we think, if I need God's forgiveness, that just means I'm defective. No. Friends, that means you're human. Like that's a shared universal experience that we have. And if that's where you are today, I just want to share something with you that I read. I know some of you, like me, are reading Kate Bowler's new reader, Have a Beautiful, Terrible Day. And I know you're reading it because you text me and DM me the devotion from that day, and that just delights me. So, like, never stop. Always share with me what you're reading. It's my favorite thing. But there was a devotion she had a few days ago, and it was called, Well, I'm Not All That Great Sometimes. Just love that title. I thought the whole thing was so good, but there's one line I want to share with you as we think about this idea of forgiving and being forgiven. She says, demystifying our own faults is difficult without believing that we are loved. So let's just say that too. We are often wrong and always loved. I want you to hear that again. We are often wrong. We are. You are. Always loved. And I think because we are loved, because we're forgiven, we get to live into that spirit of jubilee. We can release people from their debts. We can forgive. We can reset. Look, I know that's hard. This is probably the spiritual thing that I struggle with the most. I am a pro at holding a grudge. But we can do this. It's possible and it's necessary, and it's what God wants for us so much. Pastor Jen is preaching up at the North Campus today. And a couple weeks ago, we were sitting in her office and we were talking about this message. And I was sitting on this couch in her office looking at this picture that hangs on her wall. Now, I need you to understand, I've sat in that office for an hour every other week since like June. Okay, it's been a minute. I've stared at this picture a lot. But she's talking about something, I'm sure it was like very profound, very good. Like she's really being in the theological moment talking, and I'm just staring at this picture. And all of a sudden I said, Jen, I'm sure she loved that. Jen, this is what forgiveness looks like. It's right here in your office. And I just want you to look at that image with me for a second. I mean, do you see it? I look at that picture, and for me, it's the open hand. It's the butterflies going everywhere. They're gray, they're black and white, they're fully in color. And guess what? That kid has zero control over what happens to these butterflies once she lets them go. They just go. And when I look at this picture, I think, this is the ability to say, God, I trust you. I trust you with my pain. I trust you with my wounds. I trust you with that thing that I did that I don't want to tell anyone about, but I know I need you to forgive. God, can you just take it? Can I release it to you? I mean, this picture to me looks like freedom. And I think freedom is what we get to experience when we actually forgive or let ourselves be forgiven. And so today as we close, I actually want to lead you in a prayer practice. And Jen was telling me about this prayer practice. She was talking to Dr. Kent Millard, who was the senior pastor at St. Luke's before Rob, and he was telling her about this prayer practice he does every day. And we just thought this would be a great way to practice releasing, forgiving together in community. And so he was telling Jenny, he's like, you know, every day I go into my closet and pray. She's like, you really, you go into your closet? You really do that? He's like, yeah, I really do that. So he goes into his closet and he prays. And he physically with his hands says, God, I surrender this into your hands. Do what you will with it. And whatever you do, I say thank you. And then as a second part of his prayer, he turns his hands over and he says, now God, I receive whatever you have for me. Amen. Now, here's what I loved about this prayer practice. He said, it's not like I don't pick that stuff I put down back up sometimes. Because look, sometimes we want to release something to God. We want to give it away. But friends, it is magnetic. Like, it's hard to let it go. It takes practice. When we talk about forgiving, this is not something that happens in an instant for like 99.9% of us. Sometimes it does. The Holy Spirit moves. I believe that. But a lot of times it takes trying again and again and again. It might take years of setting it down. But don't stop. Because at some point, someday, that magnet's going to lose its grip. And you're going to be able to walk away from it. And you're going to feel that freedom. So today, what I want to invite you to do, just get a little bit more comfortable in your chair. You can maybe put both feet on the floor. Maybe let your shoulders relax, because we hold a lot of stuff up there most of the time. So let yourselves get a little bit more comfortable. I'm going to have you start by holding your fists out like this. And now you can close your eyes, because I'm going to take you through the rest of this. I want to invite you to physically release with your hands what you are carrying, opening your hands and praying. God, I surrender this. Jesus, whatever this is. Maybe it's my pain, my resentment, that thing I need forgiven of or don't know how to forgive. Lord, whatever it is, I surrender it into your hands. Do with it what you will. Now I want to invite you to turn your hands over and receive. God, I receive what you have to give me in place of this thing that I just let go. I receive what you will do in me and through me. And I give you thanks for your grace and forgiveness in my life. Amen.